and with Connie Keller, who is on the Historical Commission in Westboro, and the date today is July 31st, 1984.
Okay? You don't have to pay attention to that.
No.
All right. I'm going to go over again with you, Mr. Norman. We decided that your father, about 1916, he built Kirkside on Church Street. And your father's name was Peter Grant DeArmond, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, he also, with his son, the company was known as P.G. DeArmond and Son, at 85 West Main. About 1930, they built what is we call a cottage-style house. It's adjacent to 83 West Main Street, which your grandfather built in 1913. We had the date of 1913. It was on the blueprints. They had 1910 on the blueprints, but on the assessor's records and the town records, I found that there wasn't anybody there until 1913. Do you think 1913 would be about the right date for that house?
I would think so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, you also told me that, down on John Street? Is it John Street? Yeah, John Street.
Yeah, John Street.
Okay. On John Street. We have 8 John Street. And was this your father or your grandfather?
That's the grandfather.
Your grandfather.
PG,
just by himself. And we have a date of 1912 on that. You think that's about the right?
I would think so.
Okay. Do you think he built any other properties on John Street by any chance?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. What are some of the other places that he built? Do you remember any other places that he, let's start with your grandfather and your father, and then we'll go on to you. Can you think of any other properties that he built in town?
Built that house that Julio lived in down there, and they saw on the corner of Flanders Road. It was where the market is now, and they moved it over there.
Oh, they moved. Where did they move it to?
Corner of Flanders Road and East Main Street.
Corner of Flanders and East Main Street.
It's the first one on the left.
The first one on the left.
Yeah. Right.
The first one on the left. Okay, facing driving down towards Flanders Road. He built that house originally. It was at the corner of Lyman.
Yeah.
And
it was on. It was the house that set way back in the Lyman where
Julio's market is. Oh, great! So now we know where that. And you know when he built that by any chance?
Oh God, no, I don't.
But it would have been in the same era as some of these others would have been, right?
Be prior.
It would be.
Yeah.
Okay. Be before 1913.
I've heard my father tell about they were plastering it in the winter, and he'd have to hook up the horse and buggy and drive down to tend the salamanders, you know, for temporary heat they were running.
Oh, what's a salamander? I don't know what a salamander
is.
It's a special kind of heater?
Yeah, it was kind of a
kerosene portable heater.
Well,
oh, terrific.
I imagine it was Coke or something like that in those days, probably.
And because he was plastered, he had to go down and keep, the plaster had to be kept at a warmer.
So it wouldn't freeze.
Yeah, so it wouldn't freeze. And your father would get up in the middle of the night and go down and.
My grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yeah.
Your grandfather would get up and go down and tend to the plaster.
Yeah, they'd have to harness up the horse and drive down there.
Oh, and that's this house that's now located at Flanders Road, huh?
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, what about some of the other properties then that he built? Can you think of any others that he. We just talked about, I know, up on High Street. There's a beautiful colonial Mrs. Ayers house, you said?
Yeah.
Your grandfather or your father built that?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather built that.
Yeah.
That's considered a beautiful, beautiful home.
Yeah,
you know, we had a Massachusetts Historical Commission just sent us a letter, and they stated in the letter that this house was referred to as one of the finest examples in Westboro of colonial, you know, revival period.
It's a stucco.
Yes. I've never seen that done in Westboro in that era. I thought it was a later house because of the type of construction. Did he build any other properties like that at that time in Westboro? I don't know of any. It's the stucco on the exterior. I've driven through town and so forth. All right. Yeah. Can you think, have I jogged your, can you think of any other concrete houses, stucco concrete houses?
No, I don't think of any other, no. There isn't too many in town.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why it probably is extremely important architecturally in Westboro. It's the only example we have of that. Okay, now can you think of any others? We have High Street that he did. How about some others? Any more?
Well, he built the one on beyond Spring Street, right opposite, what is that street there?
Lincoln?
Lincoln, yeah.
Oh, Spring and Lincoln, which one?
Barbara Conker lives now?
Yeah. And that's, that would
where
be
where McDonald's
of a,
used to live. It used to be the postmaster's house, Charlie McDonald's house. Now Barbara Conker, the treasurer.
It's kind of an example of a Dutch colonial. I don't know whether it is true or not.
Probably the third one in on the left, coming in from Winter Street.
It is. It's on Spring Street, though, you're saying? And who lives there now, do you think?
Conker.
Conker. I don't have... That's Spring Road. Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah, 11. 11, it would be... yeah, that would be the third one in on the left-hand side, yeah. I guess, or whichever. It would be the odd number. Yeah, Conker, C-O-N-C-A-U-G-H.
Right, right.
Okay. He built that one, too. Okay. And any other houses on Spring Street that he built?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. No. How about some of the commercial or the civic buildings in town? Did he build any of the schools or community buildings?
Oh, yeah. All of them. He built a community building.
Oh, he did build a community building?
Yeah.
Oh, that's marvelous to know.
The town hall.
He built the town hall, too?
Yeah. And the Forbes School.
And the Forbes School?
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
How about some of the high schools and so forth, other than the Forbes School?
No. Build that Hickok building.
Oh, he did. I just called them to ask them what date it was built, and they don't know.
Oh, yeah?
So I'll have to look it up in the assessor's records.
Oh. And then the building across from, where's the garage there now? There used to be cows from bus lines. That's who they built it for.
Oh, the Keating Block?
Yeah, across from the Keating Block.
Oh, right. The old Calstrom bus line, building there where there's a gas station.
Oh, yes.
Erickson's,
yeah. Do you know who built the Keating building by any chance?
Yeah, Keating.
Keating.
Yeah.
He did the construction and everything himself, huh?
Yeah.
I'll be hanged. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he was a contractor, you know. He built that. He did the Catholic
was
Church.
Was it J.P.?
Oh, I didn't know that. Keating built the Catholic Church, too.
Yeah.
Was it J.P.?
Yeah, J.P. Keating.
Keating.
Terrific.
A lot of work.
That's invaluable information. We haven't any records of those, that type of information. And so it's really terrific if you can think of anything like that. Anybody else who built in town, too, aside from your father and your grandfather.
Oh. Well, was there any more, any houses on Fay Street?
Louis Denfield. You know, Admiral Denfield was born on a house on Fay Street. We just found that out recently.
Oh.
It's now a multiple dwelling. It's you know, apartments and so forth. But Admiral Denfield was born at 5 Fay Street.
That one that Greg O'Neill remodeled.
It's a big gray.
Dr. Reed's? Yeah.
No. It's on the right going up Fay Street towards the church.
I don't know who lived prior to that.
How about Girton's house there? Did you have anything to do with that other than owned it? How about Cove's on West Street?
Well, yeah, that my grandfather built that, yeah.
Which one is this now?
Bill Cove's house on West Street. It'd be, you know what Kemp, Irfid Kemp lived?
No, don't.
Right.
I'm drawing up. Let's see, West. I
35
got
West.
It's 35 West, that's out.
Yeah.
West Street, 35. No, I don't know it. We skipped down. We went as far as 27 on the survey. No, 30 West Street on the survey, and then we skipped down to 46 on the survey because we didn't know anything about the ones in between. And he did 35?
Yes.
He did 35. Okay, yeah. That's good. I'll go out and cite that now. What about you now? What did you build in town? What have you built in town? Been involved in?
No, I'll ask him.
You did all of it?
No. Well, you were involved in a lot of these. You were involved in the high school. You worked as a kid at the high school.
No,
not on the
farm school, you mean?
Yeah.
No.
How about the town
hall? I
started
in on the town hall. I remember. Right.
What about the high school back, or the school that's now the YWCA?
Yeah, that was...
I haven't done that, but we're going to.
Some outfit from Milford. I can't think of the name right off.
But somebody in Milford built it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a local builder.
No.
How about the Harding School?
Oh, I don't remember that.
The Harvey School, rather.
That'd be much older.
All right. Did you have anything to do with the old high school down where the project is there with the apartments?
Just tore down one of the buildings down.
Is that all?
Yeah.
What about that development across from Julio's shopping center? You know, there's a, was after the Second World War, I
that
think.
That was Lyons.
That was Lyons, yeah.
That was Lyons.
Richard Lyons, yeah.
Richard Lyons built that.
He built that.
Yeah, you want information on that, you can see Al Happen, because he's a, what, a brother-in-law?
Yeah, brother-in-law.
Well, I'm more interested in getting things on your father and that, too.
He built those houses down by the lake there, too, you know, that other group across from Lake Chauncey there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you did the, I know we've done some work to the fire station. He went in, they didn't build it originally, did they?
No, they got a record of that thing there, though.
But he put the cement floor in there to start with. When they, before they went from horse and carriage to the to the mechanical machinery.
Yeah.
And then we put the addition on. We altered the front with the original doors. We put the addition on as it is now.
Mm-hmm. And were you involved in this recent?
Just to shore it up on the temporary shoring to keep the building from falling down until they could take it down.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I got involved in.
Well, what did you primarily build when you were very active, Mr. DeArmond? Did you build houses mostly, or?
Yeah, we built a few houses there. Grant Road, we built all this four a line there. Four.
You built four houses right in a row on Grant Street?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know the numbers of them by any chance, would you?
Yeah, they begin on, what is my?
Three. 1, 3, 5, 7.
Yeah. 1, 3, 5, 7.
So you built the odd number ones.
They made the road. They made that whole development there, with the exception of Meads and the Fairbankses.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then they built the house around the corner on West Street. Who lives there now?
McMahon.
Yeah.
No.
Did you build the house on the corner for Bents for Andrews?
No. Wynn Alders built the next one up the hill there.
For Andrews? Yeah. Andrews' house?
Yeah.
Jimmy Monahan lives in it, I think, now.
What number is that?
Whitney Street. It would be the second, going up from West Street would be the second house. Well, it is actually the first house on the right, because the one on the corner, it faces West Street.
Okay.
It's the one that comes right across from Blake Street.
It's on Whitney Street.
Though. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Did you get involved in any of the stucco homes up above it?
No, that was Keating.
All Keating did all those?
Yeah, he did four in a row there.
Yeah.
And then there's the street that, Whitney Street, I guess it is Whitney Street.
How about Irving Street up on there? Did you get involved
in
Guyler's house or any of them?
No. Guy from Hopkinton, I think, did that.
We have several, what they call, in quotes, cottage-style houses up there on Whitney Street. I think it's Whitney Street. The one Did you do those? Was that Keating or was that you?
Keating
did those.
Yeah.
But those were stucco type, like that.
Yeah. Originally they were stucco, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you see, most of those probably were copied from the style. This was the first one in town, John Street, I'm quite sure. This cottage style, and the others would be copied from this particular one. Just as the shingle style is probably the... did he ever build any others like this? This is exquisite. This really is, architecturally. It's just the one on West Main Street there that's what we call Richardsonian
Shingle style. I don't really know whether they had an architect or not on that. I don't know. He built it for Marsh, you know. They ran the trellis company there.
Oh, Mr. Marsh ran the trellis company?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. We weren't. Yeah. The only thing we could find out was that he was a manufacturer.
Yeah. Well, that's where the professional building is now or something. Is that what they call it? That used to be the trellis shop.
In front of the Dairy Queen. Yeah.
The Dairy Queen faces it.
There used to be a blacksmith shop about where the Dairy Queen is now. You know, it was close to the professional building. That's why they don't have much land there, you see, with that professional building, you know, where the fence on the Dairy Queen is, you know, it's almost about 10 feet off of the professional building. And that's one reason that there isn't much land with that, because there was, in my period, John Massey that lived down on Ruggles Street, He also had a blacksmith shop over here. Well, you know where Ernie Fair lives there?
Yeah.
Had it in there.
Wow.
A guy by the name of Waldron that lived in town. He built about three houses there. We go on West Street. But, so they had this blacksmith shop there, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Where
the road goes up there now, originally in this side between Summer and Milk Street, that was originally where the railroad tracks went through the center of town there. So.
Mm-hmm.
And, those tuller shop and the blacksmith had kind of backed up to the railroad there, you see, from the Summer Street side.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah.
You evidently have noted that there were two blacksmiths in town at that particular time. Is that?
Well, I don't know. There could have been. I don't know whether there was two or whether there was one over there and then he moved up there or what.
Yeah, but we are certain of that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At that location.
Oh, yeah. The one over here seemed to me was a fellow by the name of Jackson. Wasn't the one over on Cross Street there.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Thayer lives. Yeah.
Well, they began to phase out towards this time. There wasn't as much need for a blacksmith at that particular time, so they would start to phase out.
Once the cars started to come, the automobiles.
Yeah.
Everything travels in cycles and in periods, you know. Way back originally, my grandfather run them. Quite a job in business here, primarily. See, he'd have 10 or 12 carpenters in the summertime. And then, of course, in the winter, why, they wouldn't be so busy, so he'd have to lay them off. And a lot of them would go to work in the hat shop, you know.
Uh-huh.
They were what they called straw shop carpenters at that time, see. And, I forget what I was going to tell you about.
Well, you know, we have, you were talking about the trellis, this being trellises.
Yeah.
We had cited a Benjamin Nurse on Parkman Street. He had a house there, and the house is right on the corner of Parkman and Grove Street. He started the trellis business. We know that for a fact, back in 1855.
I see.
And then we have a trellis, our shop next to his house. And we think that's where he made trellises. I thought maybe you might have heard whether it's now, later on, that house on the corner of Grove and Parkman Street became, in the assessor's record, they call it a tenement because it was a multiple dwelling. You know, workers would come to town. It was converted into that.
Yeah.
Did your father or grandfather have anything to do with building some of the apartment buildings in town?
Not that I know of.
No. Most of the houses were converted into multiple dwellings. A lot of the houses, rather, were converted into multiple dwelling rather than putting up a lot of new construction.
I remember them working in, my father told about working in that house you speak of, the one up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the part that I remember about them was kind of odd. He said they went in to do remodel it there, and the place was loaded with cockroaches. So he said, you want to hang your coat up, you had to open the door and put a board on the top and hang your coat out onto it, see? So,
that's a lovely way to go to work, isn't it?
Yeah.
We couldn't get anybody to go to work in a place like that today. They'd strike.
Yeah.
You couldn't get them to their front door.
No.
Well, your father took over the business from your grandfather, is that it? And then you just continued, and your son's going into business.
Originally, my father went to work for my grandfather, you know, and then he didn't care for this job in business much there. So then he wanted to do bigger work, so he took over the business, you know, and of course he built, 12 schools around different places, you know.
Oh, he built outside of Westboro, too.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the other communities he built in around here? So they might be interested to know, so I want to keep it on. Your father worked in Reading, did you say?
Yes.
And where else besides Reading?
He did two schools in Wellesley, Garden Road School, and I don't know what I forget the name of the other one.
All right, hold it a minute.
Okay. All right. And
the other one in Wellesley was the Alice Phillips School. That was the name of the other one. And then he built one in Dudley. He built one in Edgartown, Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. All
he
over
really
the,
went down.
Oh, yeah,
all
over.
All over.
And, it was a big school in Reading, though. And, where else? I don't know.
Well, what have you two primarily been involved in more recent years, so we can have get some sort of a record on that?
Well, our most of our stuff was just additions, and then we built some stuff for the state, some these chemical storage sheds and stuff like this. But we didn't go back
into domestic.
No, we didn't do. Most of ours was commercial and industrial.
Oh, we worked down the Bay State quite a little.
Yeah.
You were, okay, you were involved down at Bay State.
Yeah, my father was too.
And your father too.
Yeah.
Well, that's, economically, that really turned Westboro around.
Oh, yeah.
Because it really was
pretty
dead there for a long period
of
time, and not much construction going on, and
no,
then Bay State came in and picked up the whole atmosphere. And now, of course, we have this high tech coming in. Changing the economic picture of the town.
Oh, we built a school in Whitensville, Northbridge, and it was 10 rooms originally, and then about, I don't know, maybe 12, 15 years went by, and then they built 6 rooms on one end and 4 on another one, and he did that. That was, I remember, that's probably one of the first jobs I ever worked on, because that would have been 1933, I think, right in there. It was right in the depth of the Depression, you know what I'm saying? Even to have a job then was quite a thing, you know.
I would imagine
so. Yeah.
What were the times like back in the 30s in Westboro? Were there a lot of people out of work at that particular time?
Oh, yeah. They had some of those government projects that WPA was known as the Works Progress Administration, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they did sidewalks. They did the one on Main Street and went up here and went down Oak Street, the whole block there, I guess. And they did a lot of work at the state hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those were real desperate times then.
Yeah. Well, Westboro, at that point, he didn't have much in the way of industry, because Bay State Abrasives wasn't really going too strong.
Then they had the tannery down there.
Oh, where was the tannery?
That was on, this is where that housing project is down there now. What do they call that?
Beach Street.
Yeah.
Beach Street.
Yeah.
There's another name, but we won't use it if we're being recorded.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Bob Judd said that.
That tannery was there for a good many years, though.
Yeah, well, tanning was, of course, an important part of the shoe industry and so forth. And I didn't know that it continued to survive into the 30s, I'll be honest with you. This is the first time I'd heard of that.
Boy, longer than the 30s,
but it went into
the 50s, didn't it? Wasn't Charlie Holden, didn't he work down there up until the 50s sometime in there?
Oh, I'll be hanged. I didn't know
who owned the tannery there?
Well, when we worked there, was that Walter Gilbert there. He lived in Wellesley, but he owned it then. And he had some kind of a leather office in New York City there, you know. But he was primarily, with him, it was primarily sheepskins, you know. He'd buy from Australia or England or somewhere and ship them here.
So he wasn't in the shoe leather business. It was strictly clothing type of...
That fellow that he speaks about that was a kind of a superintendent, though, he came from... Lynn, I guess. He came right from the Peabody, I guess it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peabody was a big leather, big tanning center, you know, for leather.
But you did a lot of work on down the tannery, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of work down there.
And now that's been taken down and replaced by this other building. That's a shame, isn't it? So many things get replaced as we advance along.
I don't know if you had to do with Kenworthy's old building.
Well, yeah, we did some work in there when Kenworthy first came here, you know, made some offices, stuff like that.
How about the tape, what was the other building across from it that burned up? there that Arthur Chase owns now, the land.
Oh.
What was that?
Well, originally, of course, that was Mason's tape factory, you know.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you have anything to do with that?
No, my grandfather had more to do with that, the hat shop there, you know. The
that
one
fired
that
up?
Down. Yeah, yeah. In fact, he built a top story on it, you know. It was three or four stories in, and then they put another one on, you know.
Uh-huh. I'm having trouble with the tape factory. We know that it was built in 1902 because it's on the building.
Keating built that.
Keating built
yeah.
it? You don't by any chance know who were the owners of the tape factory at that time, do you? We know that a Joseph Manson.
What?
A Mason. A Joseph Mason, excuse me. Joseph Mason owned it later on in the 1900s, but he was just a manager in 1905 or so.
Where Mason owned was across the street this way, where it's growing up to a woods there now, you know. Chase Paper acquired it quite a while after Mason, but it was a wooden. This was a wooden thing. See, that other one, the stair that's got the date on it, that was called the Westboro Weaving Company.
Yeah, the Westboro Weaving Company.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one time they decided they're going to move, and they moved from here to Greenville, or South Carolina or North Carolina. I think it's South Carolina anyway. Yeah.
Oh, so Mason's factory was across the street from the Westboro Weaving Company.
I think originally he might have worked there, Mason.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he owns a factory. He was a manager at Westboro Weaving in the 1904,
well,
and then later 1918 he owns a factory.
Then he went into business for himself.
I see.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
see. You don't know who owned Westboro Weaving, do you? I thought it's just a blank for me. I mean, I know that in 1918, Mason, who had been at Westboro Weaving.
I don't really know. I don't really know who did it.
Kenworthy could probably give him some information on that.
He might, yeah.
On Ruggle Street.
Okay.
They owned the building before Guy Hutt bought it.
Oh, okay.
And then...
Yeah, well, I'll try and find it. When you get these blanks, in, you know, you don't have a name on a map, and you have no information, you don't even know where to go to look for it.
No.
Because you have to have a name before you can even research it.
Yeah.
And I've drawn a total blank with the weaving company.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that Mason was there.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, maybe...
Well, I had this friend that I used to pal with, Wendell Gill, his name was, and his father was kind of superintendent of the Westboro Weaving Company there, so I knew about
that.
What
was his name again?
Gill
was
yeah.
his father was a superintendent.
Yeah,
at the weaving company.
And there was another man here from town by the name of Richards. He was involved in that somehow too. I forget now. He lived down on B Street there. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they unfortunately everybody seemed to move in and out of town, and
yeah.
you lose track of them along
yeah.
the way. Well, that's the only factory we still have standing. Do you remember the old trolley barn, which is now Tufts
yeah,
Machinery
yeah,
and so
yeah.
forth? Do you know if anybody was involved in...
Well, my father was involved in... he was instrumental in Tufts buying it. And then he, when they did buy it, of course, he remodeled it into the shop that it is now, you know.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, because before it just had big doors on the front of it, you know.
Yeah.
They
mm-hmm.
opened and the tracks went in and they... They just drove the trolleys right inside, you know. So.
Yeah. We have a picture of that. I'm going to
oh,
use that in a slideshow,
of course,
yeah.
That all had to be pulled out of there, you know, and cement floor and walls and windows and things
you know, any
like
of the
that.
Contractors who were involved in the removal of the trolley tracks and that sort of thing in the area?
I don't. I can remember.
Or how about the railroad station? As we, the Bay State Abrasive owns it now. Do you know who built that? We
no.
know that the design of it. I guess they were builders from out of town because it was from the Baltimore, Albany. What? Baltimore and Albany, Boston and Albany, Albany and Boston railroad.
Yeah, Boston
and
Albany.
Boston and Albany Company.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was their designs and so forth. So
yeah.
I guess they had a contractor from out of town build it. Do you think?
It could be.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I would think so. Stone.
Yeah. It's a beautiful building. It's a lovely little building. Very,
yeah.
Very
oh,
nice
yeah.
One.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to rock and ruin, though. Because
yeah.
Bay State Abrasives, they have that hard, the canopy goes out over the railroad track. So
yeah.
they can't, the railroad company doesn't own the canopy. Or the other way around. The railroad company doesn't own the station, and somebody else jointly owns the canopy. So nobody can really get can buy it from Bay State Embraces. It just went to them as a total package.
I see. That's understandable. Yeah. I can see that.
But a lot of people are interested in acquiring the building if they could determine who.
Is that so?
Who owns it? Who has the legal right to the?
Well, isn't the Bay State using it now?
No, it's empty. They were going to, and then they didn't do anything with it, so it's not really being utilized at all. I see. We have one over in Framingham that had the same problem with the railroad station over in Framingham. That's falling apart piece by piece, and it's tragic.
Terrible.
It really is sad to see. Because
it's the same style of architecture.
Yeah, Richardsonian, they call it. Yeah, that's actually this house that your grandfather built, the one here. They call this Richardsonian shingle because he designed a lot of houses and a lot of commercial buildings. But his domestic homes were designed like this. And this is lovely. The stained glass on either side of the door. I walked up to talk to them. Oh, it's just charming. Have you ever noticed it? The stained glass on either side of the door. It's beautiful.
What is it?
Stained glass on either side of the door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just lovely.
Oh, yeah.
It is so pretty.
Oh, yeah.
On South Street.
Huh?
On South Street. You lived at 77.
Yeah.
Who built the house?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know. No. All right. And did you build anything down? Did they build anything down? How about around Foster's or any place? They build any of those houses down around there?
I don't really know.
What about, we were talking, you had your map in, the house that now is the dentist's. It's at the corner of Cross and South Street. It's a Dr. Valley. It's a big Victorian house.
No.
Do you know anything about who built that by any chance?
No.
I know the man who built it was head of the Brigham Milk Company when it was the largest milk company in the country.
That's
yeah, but I don't know who built the house. I'd love to know who built it. I mean, you know, who the builder was, not the man who had it done.
Yeah.
That's what we like to know, the names of the builders and the people that have built them.
Did you ever see that little, that history they have on the, I don't know whether it's the library or the fire station there, but I think Phil Kittredge had one on the fire station. It only cost $7,000 or $8,000 when it was built, and it told all this and that and everything. It broke down how much this cost and that. This is kind of interesting.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah. Well, the family in town by the name of Sibley, they made sleighs and so forth. And I talking about the fire department, they built the carriage for the new fire engine. It cost $250 for the whole carriage. Yeah, I was thinking about what could you buy for $250 today for the fire department? Not even a hose, I guess. It really is. It's totally different.
Well, when my grandfather first came to this country, he came from Nova Scotia, and he worked for that Cobb over there in Northboro, and that's what they did. They built carriages.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Grange Hall?
I don't know if that was a. I don't know about that. It was a church once there.
Yeah, it was a church, Baptist church, and then the tower was removed and it became the Grange.
Yeah.
But I'm delighted to know that your relatives built Kirkside, because we have to do that. We haven't done it as yet.
This is a nice house.
Right. Who was the contractor when they jacked the Congregational Church up? Do you remember?
Hathaway, he lived up on, he lives where the night doctor lives there now.
By Jim Ward's?
No, over here on, not Ruggles, but the next one up.
Charles Street.
Hathaway. Oh, well, I've done his house.
All right, over the Congregational Church, what is the sanctuary, the meeting section there was the first floor. They jacked that hole up and put the second floor underneath that.
I didn't know they did it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's only noted, we have information or maps or books. He's noted as a carpenter. Well, he wasn't a carpenter. He was a builder. Just like we have noted somebody was a straw worker. Well, they probably weren't a straw worker. They were probably vice president of the National Straw Works, but they don't label them as such. So it was Hathaway. Did the reconstruction on the church.
The original, where you go up in the Congregational Church on the second floor, that was originally down the first. And they jacked that hole up and put a second floor on it.
He had something to do with the steeple, because I can remember my father telling about he climbed up the steeple, I don't know, at night to set the weather vane or something, I don't know. What he was sitting by, the North Star or what, I don't know.
This was at the Congregational Church?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you people replaced the steeple when it blew off in the hurricane, right?
We fixed the roof.
Yeah, yeah. When it came over.
The steeple wasn't replaced till quite a while afterwards. Oh, that's another job we did on the Baptist Church, was that steeple there on the front, you know.
Oh.
All the way from the ground up, that entrance and the steeple. See the steeple?
Where they now have the bell, that area?
Yeah. It was all new after the hurricane in 38.
Oh, in 1938.
Because the steeple they had there was tapered, roof steeple with slate on the sides of it. But it blew right out in the main street there, see.
My God.
And then there was quite a while afterwards they had this architect bid on that thing and did that.
Was the hurricane of 1938 a bad one? Was there a lot of destruction done in Westboro at that time?
Oh, tremendous. Yeah, terrible. Yeah. I don't know of any disaster that ever hit Westboro that was any worse, you know.
That was the worst one that's ever been.
Oh, yeah. Well, imagine they lost the steeple there, and they lost the steeple there, you know.
They lost the congregational steeple, and the Baptist.
It blew back on the roof, see? And when it did, it crushed the roof in there, you know. And we had to build a station up the side and replace a lot of the roof.
Must have been a dangerous job, I guess.
Well, a lot of jobs are hazardous, you know.
But you didn't know how much structural work damage had been done until you got up on the roof and started to work on it, though. What other damage was done in 38? Can you remember anything else? The two churches. Were there any other major buildings or homes or anything that were destroyed?
There was damage everywhere. You know, every street had something.
Everything? Wasn't a house on the
roof blown off or something, or some part of it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Ruggles Street, Charles, you know, all in places.
My goodness. Were there any deaths, do you remember, caused by it, or much?
Yes, there were some, but I get kind of confused between the hurricane and the tornado. You know, the tornado we had was about 53, I guess, that came afterward. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there was 4 or 5 people killed in that, you know, the Aronson, especially if they lived up there where the high school is now, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
The house blew down, and there were 2 or 3 of them killed there, you know.
That was the worst, I think, wasn't
I
it?
I think so, as far as loss of life, but of course there was much more damage in the hurricane because it was so widespread, you know.
Yeah, not just a narrow path.
Right. The tornado was just a narrow path. Yeah,
it just swept but the hurricane swept the whole community.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It really is a shame, but you can't prevent weather. That's
No.
Act of God. No. You can't do a thing about that once it happens. That is too bad. Well, that is lovely. I've gotten a lot of information from you. And if you think of anything else I'd love to have it. I really would. We're trying to get the records all updated and keep them thorough as possible.
If things come to me, I'll try to write it down.
I'd appreciate it if you would. Yeah. I really would. Okay. It would be most helpful to me.
Well, where Dr. Bellarose has his office now, right? It used to be what? Is that the building, or was it the building out behind it where his parking lot used to be a church?
Yeah. It used to be a church in the back there.
In the back? In back of Dr. Bellarose's house? Offices are.
There was a parking lot now. There used to be a church here. What denomination?
Well, it was Episcopal.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, was that prior to their building?